Good morning, everybody. I certainly appreciate you for being here.
There we go. And on a Sunday to worship God and to fellowship with one another. And got a lesson prepared, relationships with God. And we've already kind of been talking about that in our Bible class earlier this morning. So we're going to get further into it today. We know that each of us are to have close relationships with God as Christians, and we're going to talk about that in this sermon. So what does having a relationship mean? A relationship is defined as the way we are connected. And that can be in many different ways as individuals connecting with each other through different types of relationships, whether family or work or anything like that. But today we're going to talk about how are we connected and how we're supposed to be connected with God according to His Word. Also the question, because many people in society today feel incorrectly, have different wrong beliefs about a relationship with God. So we're going to ask the question, does having a relationship with God mean you don't have to obey them? Because like we said, many today believe that because they have a relationship with God, that God is just like one of their friends, He's one of their buddies, He's going to support and accept anything that they feel or do, because they'll say things like, God knows my heart, or God wants me to be happy. We know, I think Daddy has brought a lesson before and mentioned the song, the old country song, Me and Jesus, We Got Our Own Thing Going, and that kind of thing, as if they are separate from any type of organized religion or the covenant that we are to have with Jesus according to His New Testament. They got their own relationship, so they're going to do their own thing, okay, and that they're okay doing that. No, that is not what the Bible teaches about our relationship with God. We'll read first 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. All right, so remember this verse, because at the very end of the sermon, we're going to ask, do we know God? And this is how we do know God, all right? We only know Him, what? If we keep His commandments. His commandments are in the Bible. The New Testament of Jesus Christ is our instruction book, and it gives us His plan to have a relationship with Him. All right, so different types of spiritual and scriptural relationships with God. It's a relationship of love. It is a relationship of friendship, okay? I know, like we talked about earlier, people just think of God as a friend or a buddy. It's not that type of friendship, but we'll talk about it when we get to it. It's a relationship of family, relationship of fellowship, and a bondservant relationship. We are to be the servants of God. So we'll talk about each of these individually. Relationship of love, of course, we know, and probably 99% of the world has at least heard of the verse John 3:16. Probably the most widely quoted verse in the Bible. We know that God loves us, okay? He loves us so much that He did give us His only begotten Son, Jesus, to live and die for us, okay? So that if we believe in Him, believe believe, a big word believe, not just simple belief that there was a person or that even that there is Jesus in heaven and that he is the Son of God, but a belief which encompasses all acceptance of his word and following that, that we will be saved, okay? So God loves us. It's a relationship of love, love from God to us, but also we are to love God. We know that the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all of our hearts, our souls, our minds, all of our strength, all of everything that we are to put into God. We are to give to God. So we should, that love goes both ways. This love must be based on our obedience. John 14 and 15, many other places, says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Jesus himself says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So many people say they love Jesus, but they're not so interested in following his word on a daily basis or even at all. A lack of obedience or disobedience, that constitutes a lack of love on our part to Jesus. Because if we love him the way we are supposed to love him, we will obey his commandments. That disobedience separates us from him, prevents us from having a relationship with him. All right, so that love. Also, a relationship, we said, of friendship. John 15, 13, and 14. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." So, we know Jesus did lay down his life for us. He was persecuted, tormented in the worst possible ways imaginable, and gave himself to die for us as his friends. And he follows that up saying, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Okay? So he considers us friends, but our friendship is dependent on our obedience. And again, the lack of obedience stands in the way of our friendship with Jesus. Also, relationship of family. We know that we are God's family. Ephesians 3, verses 14 and 15. We'll read that. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So we are part of God's family. He is our Father. We are his children. Jesus taught that those who obey the will of God are more his family than his own flesh and blood. And we're going to read this section Matthew 12, 46 through 50 in a couple of slides. But Jesus made the point that, you remember, he was at the temple and he was teaching, and his mother and some of his siblings were there, and there was a big crowd around him, and they were like, "Hey, your mom and your brothers and sisters, they're here, they want to talk to you." And he's like, "Who is my family?" Okay? "Those who do the will of my Father in heaven, those are my family." Okay, so our spiritual family is more important, should be more important to us. We should have more of a connection to them than our blood family, whether that is our mother and father, our son or daughter, our cousins, our aunts or uncles, our grandparents, our grandchildren. God and our spiritual family, the church, should be our priority. So we have that relationship, which is a strong relationship. We have a relationship with God as his children. Galatians 3:26. Read that. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see those conditions of being children of God. Children often ask why. Have you ever noticed that? How many are parents, okay? Have you ever noticed that children often like to ask why when you tell them what to do? But it frustrates us as parents sometimes when they ask why, right? Because we're in a hurry, we don't have time, we don't want to sit down there and have to explain everything. But it is understandable, all right? It's normal. And it's really not a bad thing, as long as they're respectful and accept your answer. It's not a bad thing to ask why. Because it's good for us to explain those reasons, okay? But why is that? Any answer from a parent to a child when they tell them what to do and they ask why should include at least the concept that I am the parent and you, especially as a small child, don't know as much as I do. I am telling you to do things because I know what is best for you and I am wanting you to be successful, okay? I am wanting you to be safe. I am wanting, you know, good things for you. Parents are tell children to do things so that they can grow to be good, healthy, prosperous, you know, adults. So, if we as children of God ask why do we have to do this? Why do we have to do what God says? Why do we have to do any individual thing that God tells us? The answer is really the same, all right? God is way more knowledgeable than an earthly parent, all right? Infinitely. And he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us as a world, as a society. He knows what is necessary to have happiness here on earth, for things to go well, for families. You know, people a lot of times they'll talk about why is it wrong for a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman, if that's what's in their heart, you know, or why is it wrong to have sex outside of marriage, okay, for a man and a woman, if they love each other, why is it anybody else's business? Well, because God wants family units. He wants every child to have a mother and a father that are committed to each other and committed to those children, to raising them in the right ways. That is what is best for children. That is what is best for society, to grow and to prosper and to be stable. Okay? So all of the things that people complain about, why is this a rule? Why, you know, y'all Christians are so judgmental. You know, why do you say these things? We say them because God says them, and God is way smarter than us, and God knows what is best. And also, obviously, ultimate reason that we have to obey God to be accepted into eternal eternity with him in heaven in the end. And that is definitely what is best for us. But there are reasons for all these little things that people find offensive about Christianity. God knows what is best. So when we ask why, even though God's not required to give us an answer for why, he's God, there are legitimate reasons for all of the things that he requires of us. And they are for our own good. Okay. So everyone is the child of either God or Satan. 1 John 3:10. Let's read that. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So if we are not following God's word, that only leaves one other person that we're following, okay? One other being. You can't do both. We know no man can serve two masters. It's either one or the other. You're obedient to God and he is your father, or you are following the devil. So, as that just said, children of God manifest themselves in obedience to God's will. That is how we are known, by our following God's will. We know the number one commandment is love. We're supposed to be known for our love, for God, for each other, and for our knowledge and obedience to his word. The wrath of God, unfortunately, is in store for the children of disobedience. Ephesians 5 and 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Also Colossians 3 and 6. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And the wrath of God is not something that any of us want to face, because God doesn't take punishment on us like he did in the Old Testament, where, you know, things were done during people's lives. Now, God has been patient. He gives us all our lives in order to learn and accept his truth. But at the end, for those who are disobedient, tragically, that wrath awaits. And we know that that is eternal separation from God, eternal damnation in hell, very sadly. All right, God is our Father, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18, we know that. And our relationship with God as our Father and Son is dependent on our obedience. Just as we're saying on each of these relationships, all of them are dependent on our obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So a condition there, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. All right, so we are also, in addition to being family with God, we are family with each other. Our bond as a spiritual family is stronger than our earthly family. That is, this is the section of scripture that we mentioned earlier, Matthew 12, starting with verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands to his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So in order to be family with Jesus, we have to be obedient to him. But he's also making the point that that supersedes our physical family, our family by relationship, our family by genetics, okay? And that is very difficult for many to accept. We love our parents. We love our brothers and our sisters. We love our children. We love our grandparents. We love our aunts and uncles. We love our grandchildren, okay? We love them. And a lot of times in society we think, okay, that's supposed to be the most powerful bond that there is. But no, our bond with God and our bond with our spiritual family is to be more important. And you think, what? Why are you making this point? Because as a parent, the most important thing we can teach our children, and I want you to really think about this. You really may need to think about it after the service, you know, just go home and think about it. The most important thing you can teach your child is that God is more important than they are. And that sounds harsh. It sounds weird, okay? But God is more important than our children. They need to understand that. And each of us needs to understand that God is more important than we are. Okay? God is God. We owe him everything. We owe him our lives. And the fact that we want something or something hurts our feelings, that doesn't change the fact that we owe God that obedience and that we need desperately to be obedient to God and to put him first. Okay? No matter what else is going on in our life, God has to come first. So teach your children that God is more important than they are. Not just teach it to them in what you say, teach it to them in how you act, in how you live. All right. Moving on to the relationship of fellowship. Christians have fellowship with God. 1 John 1 and 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That should really be a comforting thing, that we have fellowship not only with each other, you may say, but fellowship with God, all right? Fellowship. We have a relationship. We're talking about all these different relationships that we have with God, the most important being, the most powerful, eternal creator of all existence. We have that fellowship, but again, as in all the other relationships, we cannot claim to have fellowship with God while we walk in sin. We move down just a few verses to verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'll continue in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have to make sure on a daily basis we are walking with God in the light, in the truth, in obedience. Our fellowship with God, just like in all the other relationships, is dependent on our obedience to his will. Then finally, the relationship of a servant. Our master is Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 23, verses 8 through 10. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. So Christ is our master, and another word for master used in scripture is Lord. He is our Lord, Lord and master. And then we'll see in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 what he says about that. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So, if we're not obedient to him, is he really our master? No. Is he really our Lord? No. He's not. We're not treating him as a Lord. We're not obedient to him. So, we must be, obviously. And again, no man can serve two masters, like we've already made the point. Either you're serving God in everything, or you're serving the devil. You can't do both. You can do 99% of what God says, and that other 1% that you don't want to do, you're like, no, nope, I'm going to do this 99, but I'm not going to do that one, sorry. And where are you? You're just as lost as somebody that doesn't serve him and doesn't do any of this stuff. You're still serving the devil because you're rejecting what you don't want to do. You're saying, I agree with you on these other 99 things, but that one, too much. You're asking too much, and God cannot ask too much of us. We owe him everything. Those who do not obey God do not have the right to call him Lord and Master, or Father, or have a family relationship with him, or a friend. So we need to ask ourselves, each of us individually, what is our relationship with God? Do we love God? We know what love means, you know, when it comes to God. We love God, we will keep his commandments. Are we a friend of God? Are we in fellowship with God? Are we children of God? Is he our Father? Is Jesus your Lord and Master? And do we know God? And does God know us? Like we said at the beginning, that hereby do we know him if we keep his commandments. So, what is the benefit of relationship with God? The blessings of being in God's family, aside from having the love and support of all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we know the ultimate blessing of being in his family is that he has prepared a place for us. John 14, starting verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So Jesus was about to leave. He was about to be gone in heaven. And he was leaving these words for his disciples, his apostles. They were going to be lost, you know, without him. They were going to be upset. But he's like, look, you know, I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to misunderstand. I'm going to be gone, but I'm going to prepare a place for you to come and be with me someday. And that place is for them and for all of us as long as we have those relationships with God that we're supposed to have, that we've just talked about. They come from obedience to him and his word, and all of those instructions that we're given are for our own good, for us to be happy people here on earth, not to just make arbitrary rules, but so that we can accept the truth and live in good ways, positive for ourselves and positive for society. So we always end with what we know God has planned in order for us to have that relationship with him, for us to be placed into his kingdom, into his family. So we know we have to first learn the word of God, which is part of what we're teaching today. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We have got to believe that word, and we've got to apply it to our lives through repentance. When we believe the word, we understand we're in sin. We make that decision to turn away from it and turn to God, make the decision to live for him, be obedient. We confess Jesus as the Son of God so that he will confess us before his Father. And then we are immersed in water for the purpose of remission of sins, which is where we contact Jesus' blood, where it washes away our sins. And we raise up out of that water a new creature, spotless, free from sin, a Christian, having been baptized into Jesus, into his body, which is the church. No other way to be saved except by that, after we've done those other things, and then we live a Christian life. Remain faithful. As we already read, 1 John 1:7, we must continue to walk in the light so that his blood will continue to wash away our sins. So, I'll leave you with one other section of scripture here. Matthew 7:21. We've already seen the blessings that Jesus has gone and prepared a place for us as long as we are obedient to him. And of course, here's the other side of that, the warning. Matthew 7, starting with verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out many devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We do not want those words said to us. We don't want to practice half-hearted Christianity and not be fully obedient to Christ. We want him to know us. We want to be known by him, and we want to be welcomed into heaven eternally one day. So if you have any need in your life, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, or if you've strayed away, we'll ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falleth.